see you guys. I'm trying something new. Usually I have the mic right here so I can, I'm grabbing this because I'm so nervous and my fingerprints, but I want to try something different today. I want to walk around with the lapel mic, see if I can walk this way. You guys can still hear me? Everybody can hear me? All right, we're good to go. Good morning again. My name is Cleveland Wills. As Scott said, my amazing wife and I are servant leaders in the children's ministry. Please give it up for the children's ministry. Please give it up for the entire youth and family ministry, our middle school ministry, our teen ministry. They've already been up here. They've done an incredible job, and you're going to see some more a little later. And I have to say that I'm a little extra proud of that tall, handsome dude that brought the communion message. Yeah, praise God he got his look from his mom, amen? If you're visiting with us today, usually the kids are in class, and we have them broken up into ages and grades so that they can get a chance to learn about Jesus more on their level. But when I found out I got a chance, I was going to get to preach today, I wanted them in here with me. One of the perks. Amen? Can I do a little good news sharing? Just a little bit. A lot of you know that, or many of you know that, 5 years ago my wife was diagnosed with a very serious life-threatening cancer. And the first 2 years, we had to go back every 3 months to make sure that that cancer that resided in the leg didn't go back into the lung. So the first 2 years was every 3 months. Then the next 2 years, we went back every 6 months. Well, I'm happy to say, and I'm proud to say, and I praise God for being able to say, that we went back this past Thursday. She is still cancer-free, and now we only have to go back every year now. Thank you. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. And the good news doesn't stop there. In 17 days, we will be celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary. 23 years in the kingdom of God. And people don't want to believe there's a God. Shannon, I love you so much. You are the bravest, strongest woman I've ever met. We have a little something for you. Just as a small token. To say congratulations to you. You are an amazing woman. I also gave her those flowers because I'm going to talk about it later. So, fellas, what you have to learn is that you always want to make sure you put deposits in, deposits in, deposits in, so that when you have to make the withdrawal, you're never in the red. Learn from me, brothers. Learn from me. Today, we're continuing our summer movie series, and thank you so much, Scott and Dion, for allow me to preach. I picked the movie Teen Titan Go, the movie. Now, I grew up on cartoons. Yes, kids, when Mr. Cleveland was young, they had cartoons. My mom, this incredible woman, hey, she's here. Hi, Mom. Hey, my mom's here. Please stand up. I'm sorry. Hey. Hi. Oh, snap. Now I got to change some of the stuff in my lesson. Kids, we had cartoons, brothers. All during the week, she had all kind of problems waking me and my brothers up to get ready for school. But come Saturday morning, we were up. 6:30, 7 o'clock with our bowl of Smurfberry Crunch or Donkey Kong Jr. or Strawberry, whatever the new cereal was, we got. And you kids, you guys get cartoons 24/7. Growing up, we did not. For those of you who grew up in Baltimore, remember, we had 3 channels. What were they? 2, 11, and 13. That was it. And during the week, we had cartoons from 3 to 5. Captain Chesapeake on what channel? Channel 45. That was all we had. We loved the holidays because we actually got to watch cartoons at night. So you made sure you didn't act up in school. One, yeah, you got beat down. Or you would have got, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to see a Charlie Brown Halloween or a Garfield Halloween or a Charlie Brown Christmas. We live for that stuff. You guys have it so good with your Cartoon Network and the Disney Channel. But kids, if I think about it, you don't really have it that good. I mean, your cartoons just aren't as good as ours were. I mean, I'm just going to be real, and please forgive me later. There's a cartoon about a walking gumball machine. Where's the creativity? A cartoon called Apple and Onion, Clarence, Uncle Grandpa, Breadwinners, I mean, 24/7 of garbage. But I have a special treat for you today. Kids, Mr. Cleveland, because I wanted you in here with me, I have a special treat for you. I'm going to show you, here's a quick look at some of the cartoons that we got, real cartoons, that we got to look at growing up. Please roll the clip.
Defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull, wherever there's trouble, G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe is there.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil.
My beloved steed, fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, for the honor of Grayskull.
You can never say, I've never done anything for you. You need to go back and watch those shows. I have arguments with He-Man. I love He-Man because he was a brother. And then a lot of people do not know that She-Ra was actually based on my mom. Okay? When one of my brothers got in trouble, we would play that, uh-oh, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You in trouble, man. But her weapon of choice was not a power sword. It was a power belt. So, She-Ra was based on my mom. The Muppet Babies. So I grew up in the hood. I'm proud of it. But nobody really admitted that they watched the Muppet Babies until one brave soul let it slip up. And then everybody like, yeah, I watch it too. So... kids, please go back. There's so many more. I had to cut it down from 22 minutes down to about 5. Please go back. There's so many more cartoons. I want to thank Christian and Janelle Hendricks, along with Eugene Montalvo, for helping me put that together. They are amazing. So again, my lesson today is on Teen Titans Go, the movie. For those of you who don't know, the Teen Titans are 5 kids, superhero kids who live together. They play together, and they work together. They're a family. As a matter of fact, here's a better picture of some true Teen Titans. These are the real Teen Titans. We got Faith and Leanne. We got Mike. We got Christian. We got Catherine. We got Christian. These are true heroes in a family of God. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, the family of God with us as the superheroes. Point number one, the pinky toe. If you're here with us today on YouTube, good morning, and are a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ, not an admirer of Jesus, not someone who thinks, he's pretty cool, but a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ, you're a superhero. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. We take that too lightly. I want to break down the greatness of the Holy Spirit. If we can put that screen up. There are so many, but I want to break down 4. First, he is involved in creation. Genesis 1:2 says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The New International Version says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Next slide. That is such an eloquent introduction in Scripture to the divine personality of the Spirit who brings creation out of chaos. I would suggest to you, and this is, I got this from George O. Wood. I would suggest to you that this also describes the work of the Spirit in your life and mine. Our life without God is chaos. The Spirit of God wants to create in us the personality of Jesus and to breathe into the formlessness and the void of our life, the life of Jesus. The Spirit is at work in that creation process. It is part of his divine nature. Next slide, please. No, that'd be good. Secondly, he is involved in regeneration. You guys are good. Psalm 104:30 says, when you send your Spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. As the Spirit brooded over the material creation of the earth and brought everything into being through his creative act, he is also at work in the spiritual recreation of our inner lives. Third, the Spirit is active in giving us the Scriptures. All Scripture is God-breathed, in 2 Timothy 3:16. The King James Version says all Scripture is inspired. The correct translation of the Greek word is all Scripture is expired. That is, breathed out. All Scripture is the product of the breath of God. The function of the Spirit is to breathe the presence of God into human life. The Bible is a result of the activity of the wind of the Spirit, God breathing his word out of his nature. And fourth, the Spirit is involved in resurrection from death. And that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit is the agent transferring the eternal life of God to us. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives also in you and me. Here I see creation, regeneration, giving of life, eternity, Scriptures, changing Scriptures, and resurrection by the Spirit. And he lives in us. He lives in us. Do you feel that power? Do you feel your superpower? We have to, because the greatest supervillain of all time does not want you to feel that. Satan does not want you to feel that power. He wants you to feel weak. He wants you to feel down. You have to feel that superpower. Teens, you don't have a teen version of the Holy Spirit. You have him in full. You are true heroes of the faith. And I say this with total sincerity. This isn't me trying to sound good. I wish I could have been a disciple at your age. I wish I could have done it. When I think of all the stupidity and the nonsense and the hurt and the pain that I caused and would cause back to me, what my life would have been if I could be where you are right now is amazing. God knew that I wasn't ready. But if we trust what he says in John 6, that no one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me, that he knows that you are. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Take full ownership of having a superpower living within you. Your peers need you to let them know about Jesus so that they don't have to fill the void, so that their character can be shaped while they're young. Waiting to help them once you get to the campus ministry or whatever ministry after that, that's too late. Tomorrow is not promised. Think about the issues going on right now. We've got challenges with identity, violence, sexuality, lack of an ability to cope, trying to fit in, and suicide. You have access to a power that can help with all of those issues and potentially save lives. There are kids and families out there right now who need you. Trust in who God is grooming and teaching you to be. And praise God for the impact you can have right now. Amen? You guys are amazing, and you are true superheroes. Give it up for the teens. And it's not just the teens. I think sometimes we all forget that we have that superpower radiating inside of us. If we all tapped into it as a family of God, the powers of the Teen Titans or the Justice League or the X-Men or the Avengers will have nothing on us because we all have true power. Amen? Now, kids, put your fingers in your ears. That's a disclaimer. I know those people aren't real. I know they're not real, but I just love superpowers and superheroes. Amen? All right. Let's go back. Well, bro, what does this have to do with the pinky toe? I'm glad you asked. In the movie Teen Titans, Robin is discouraged. Robin is upset because he doesn't have, they don't have a movie. That they were seen as sidekicks or jokesters and not as important as the main heroes. Realizing that though they weren't Superman, they play a very important part in the world of people who need saving. And I think we can relate to that feeling sometimes because sometimes we can feel unimportant. That we're unimportant outside of the body, and sometimes we can feel unimportant inside the family of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all his many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles or black or white or Hispanic or Asian, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. I think, again, like Robin, that we can feel not important to the family, kind of like a pinky toe. We don't feel important because of our position, our function, or our talents. If you were to think of a body part, and somebody said you have to get rid of one part of your body, I dare some people would say the pinky toe. Now, this is hard for me because I hate feet. I don't like feet. I don't like toes. And I'm telling you, if you Google pinky toe online, it's just hammer time all over the internet. It's just busted hammer time. But look at it. Doesn't seem too impressive or needed. But everyone stand up, please. If you can, everybody stand up. Hey, bro. Now, if you can, lift one leg. Now, on the leg that's still on the ground, try to lift your pinky toe and see what happens. I see something. Go ahead and sit down. I didn't expect you to be able to do that. The point is, without the pinky toe, it's hard to walk or stand with balance. I found this quote from an article in Popular Science. It says, we walk like a tripod fashion, where the big toe knuckle, the fifth toe knuckle, and the heel have a tripod walking ability. Sung says, if you remove one part of that tripod, you lose balance. So even the pinky toe itself, even though the pinky toe itself has no functional value, removing the metatarsal will make running, walking, and skipping nearly impossible. So the pinky toe plays a very important part to the rest of the body. God says again in verse 27, you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it. We all have a part. Every single baptized disciple of Jesus Christ, you have a part in the family. I think sometimes we get caught up in what part we are. And we disagree with how God wants to use us. Sometimes maybe we want to be the head. You know, the head usually gets to decide where the rest of the body goes, and generally the body can't do anything but follow along. Or sometimes we want to be the mouth so that everyone will hear what we have to say. Whatever the role, we have to acknowledge that we have one superpower spirit who unites us as a family. And that each of us have been given a function to carry out. This is a biblical system that God has put together. There's no flying solo. There's only an interconnected, interdependent body of Christ. Can you imagine what we would do and who we would be if we functioned on the level that God laid out for us? The power that's in each and every one of us, how effective we would be. I want to take this time to thank those who serve as our leaders, the heads, the Davises, the Vongs, the Beckers, Cherie, the Essians, the Mobakers, the Porters. I love these guys because I know first and foremost how much they love God. And then how much they love us. They assume a lot of responsibility to deal with issues and problems that come up in the family. Let's just say, if we're all honest, we got some issues. Each and every one of us. If you don't have issues, you're deceived. But let's obey the scriptures, making sure that we make their lives a joy, as Hebrews 13:17 says. And speaking of the Davises, I appreciate them so much. Because they do stuff that doesn't get advertised, and they don't look for advertisement. They don't know that I'm about to share this. I'm able here today, and I'm going to stay strong because I'm a wuss. I'm here today being able to celebrate 5 years of my wife being cancer-free. 5 years ago, it was rough. It was scary. It was hard. She would have to be in the hospital 3-4 days at a time, getting constant chemo drugs. Different ones. One of them, they had to wrap in a brown bag, and it was called the Red Devil. And after those 3 or 4 days, we would bring her home, and she would just be out of it because that stuff was flowing through her body. And one night in particular, me, Shay, and Christian just went to the bed, and we just wanted to pray with her and share some scriptures with us. So we shared where, you know, Jonathan tried to help David find strength in God. And then we shared the scripture in James 5 where it talks about, hey, if someone among you is sick, pray and have the elders come anoint him with oil. And we were like, hey, we're not elders, but we got some baby oil. We can try to rub you down, pray with you, make you feel better. Then I was like, oh, snap, the Holy Spirit. McFly. And so I called Scott. Scott, do you know of any elders that will be willing to come and pray for my wife and anoint her with oil? He told me he'd get back to me, and before long, he had set up for Reuben Marbury, who was the elder at the time down in our Montgomery County Church, to come anoint Shannon with oil and pray for her. Scott could have stopped there. He did his part. He did his duty. But he didn't. The day that Reuben could come up, Scott happened to be in New York that morning, working all day on a house. He jumped on a bus all the way from New York, rush hour traffic, it was his wife Dion's birthday. So he got back, picked up his family, Dion and his 3 beautiful girls, and came to my house so that he could be there with us when we got a chance to experience that miracle of seeing Shannon be anointed and prayed over. As me and Shay and Christian got to watch Reuben, I remember Reuben said, this olive oil is from Jerusalem. He said, I'm not saying it's magic olive oil, but I'm like, that's pretty cool. And Scott came, and Dion came, and the girls came, to be a part of that on her birthday. And though that was for Shannon, my faith increased like it never had before. My faith after that was that my wife is healed, because that's what the Bible says. A lot of people say, oh, with cancer, you're just in remission. No, my God says she's healed. She's healed. Scott and Dion, thank you guys so much. You didn't have to do that. I pray that I never forget what you did. That was 5 years ago. And I thank you so much to this day. Thank you so much. I want to thank those who serve as teachers in my children's ministry. Y'all know I'm. You got my heart. Wakanda forever. I mean, children's ministry forever. I was going to wear my necklace, but I said too much. Okay, so... But teachers, thank you so much. The communion team, thank you so much. The hospitality team, those geniuses that we label the tech crew. That's so low. They should be called the genius crew. Genius squad has nothing on that tech crew. The worship team, the chemical recovery leaders, the Arazos and the middle school teachers. And we need some parents to step up and help teach out in the middle school ministry. The team workers, you are all serving by your superpower, and we thank you so much. And that leads me to my second and final point. Get your chores done. Get your chores done. Most members of a household family have chores or responsibilities. Chores can have a negative connotation. I hated chores growing up. I'm not too fond of them now. For me and my brothers, my mom would give us grace, but if we tried to take her for granted or get over on her, But in the family, we all have chores, or let's just say responsibilities. In the Wills family, one of my chores is I am the bug or animal killer. If there's anything in the house that does not belong, this dude right here is the man. I remember numerous times at our old home sitting upstairs and I hear, and that's Shannon running up the steps, Cleveland, Cleveland, there's a bug downstairs in the basement. And after I look at her and giggle, because I'm thinking your foot is bigger than that bug. That's my standard. If my foot is bigger, then the bug is gone. Nothing. So I let her calm down, and I'll stand up, and my theme music will play, and I make my way down to the basement. Now, many people have different ways of killing bugs. I'm more on a ninja level, okay? So if the bug, if it's on the floor, that's no problem, but when they're on the wall, that's when you can have issues. Because if you go too quick, they take off running. And it was those things with all the legs. Those little. Freak my wife out. But I'm a pro. And so I get to the wall. You never want your shadow to get across the bug. So you get as close. Again, practice. And come to my school, I'll teach you. Where you know your arm can extend and kill it. So I stand there, get close, and then I freeze. Because I know the bug is thinking, I thought I saw something moving. So I freeze. Give it a couple seconds for it to get its confidence back. Bam! It's over. Flawless victory for those who, oh, you shouldn't kill bugs. The bug did not suffer. It did not suffer. I have a rule. Bugs, I don't go to your home, don't come to mine. Then after I do my job, I go over to the damsel in distress, get my kiss on the cheek, and then stroll off to play music until needed again. But that's just my role. Shay, he is responsible for taking care of Shannon's dog, yeah, her dog, and taking out the trash. Christian does the dishes. They're all responsible for their room. Shannon, she does pretty much everything else. The cooking, the cleaning, the chicken coop building. My wife has built a chicken coop from the ground up. Please show the chicken coop. She built that. From the ground up. She's got 3 birds because she wants her own fresh eggs. I am a blessed man. I think I put 2 nails in. Well, bro, why are you telling me about the chores in your house? Well, because I don't think we're the only ones who do chores as a family. I'm willing to bet money, and I'm pretty cheap, well, I'm frugal, that most families do it way better than we do. Your house is immaculate. But it's amazing to me that people can be so dedicated to their chores or their responsibilities in their own homes, but aren't as willing to do the responsibilities in the household of God. How many people sitting here, whether you're a member of this church or not, have been negligent with your chores or your responsibilities in the family of God? Negligence can mean many things: avoiding fellowship, waiting for others to do the things that you could do, making excuses so that you don't have to serve, not giving when you have the means, holding back on your talents, ignoring needs because you don't want to be involved. There's so many more. But that's not a fully functional household. And I just don't think that's what God wants for his family. 1 Corinthians 12, God set up physical placement of the members of the body. Romans 12:4 speaks to the members having a function. Haggai 1 says this. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. In this passage, God's people had stopped working on restoring the temple after the Babylonian invasion. For some reason, they didn't think it was a good time to work on this project. They were more concerned with building their own homes. God had to help them out with a little perspective. Twice he says to give careful thought to their ways. If they had looked around, they would have noticed that things weren't going so great for them. It was all because of their negligence. If you look around now and see that things aren't going so well in God's house, the body, check yourself first. Check yourself first. I'm going to encourage you to give careful thought to your ways, just like the Lord did. Are you handling your responsibilities in the household of God? What are you actively doing in the family so God can, as he says in verse 8, take pleasure in his house and be honored? You see, when you're not busy working on your part, God's household becomes neglected. Not only that, but if you look around, you may see that things going on around you may not be going that well either. God may not allow that to change until you get busy on his house. Some of you may be thinking that you have no idea how to serve in God's household because you don't know your spiritual gift. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to have some very, very, very special guests come out here right now and read some of the gifts that the Lord has given us. These gifts should be used within his household. So if I can have Nathaniel Adewu and Ruby Harding to come on out. Okay, you got it. Okay. Give it up for him. I know you can do better than that.
All the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual energy serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayers. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who are persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who are rejoiced. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with other of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay any evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord, on the country. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If it is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Woo! Don't y'all. Y'all stay out here. Stay out here with me. Give this back. Out of the mouth of babes. If I could have my Teen Titans come up on stage. Any middle school kids here? Any middle school kids come on up? Any of my children's ministry kids here feeling brave? Come on up. Make your way up here right now. There are so many times when God, when we read his word, that we don't really have to say anything else. He lays out his expectations for those who want to be part of the family. As you read this, which of these is your gift? And how are you handling your responsibilities in the household of God? The Bible says that we at least have one of these. If you're not sure which one is yours, please come talk to me. I can absolutely help you out. If you're visiting with us today, ask yourself, are you truly part of God's family? And answer it the easy way. Use the scriptures. Don't get emotional. I don't know about you, but emotion has got me in a lot of trouble over my life. And if you're not sure how to use the scriptures, ask the person that invited you. They will be more than willing to open up the scriptures with you and allow God to answer any question that you have. If you're already part of the family, remember, you have a superpower within you. Use that power to carry out your roles and your responsibilities. What kind of church do you want to leave as a legacy for these precious ones up here on this stage? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Do you want to leave one of negligence or one of power? The choice is yours. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Please don't say, oh man, Cleve is funny. That was cool. And then go home and you make no changes. God's word has been preached today. Not Cleveland. God's word has been preached today. Give careful thought to your ways. I think the need is for us to get back to loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. To also trust in God and in his sovereignty and in his providence. To focus on making it to heaven and building God's house so that he may take pleasure in it and be honored. Thank you all so much for allowing me to share. I really appreciate it. It's an honor. You guys are incredible. I'm going to have one of my Teen Titans, Christian Craig, come on up. Can I get him? To close us out in prayer. Let's pray, God.
Okay. Make sure I'm not yelling at you guys.
They'll control it. You good.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I just, wow, is all I have to say right now, because every time Mr. Cleveland preaches, it's just like all I can leave church with, God. God, just thankful that it's all healthy to just be here, God, with each other, God, just to learn more about you, God, and how we can just grow closer to each other, God, while also, like, growing closer to you, too, God. Mm-hmm. God, just help us really realize that we have the opportunity to change how we are, God, how the church works, God. Like, we have an entire new generation of kids here, God, and God, just, that's just mind-blowing to me, God. God, just everyone here, just so welcoming and so willing to change, but we have to be also willing to take action too, God. God, it's not just a mental thing, God. We have to get up, go out, and like help each other, God. God, just thank you for this, God. God, just I literally can't think of anything else to say besides wow, God. God, just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.